Continuing this morning with the subject of worship, last week we covered the first letter in the acrostic worship, which stood for worthiness, and we're going to look at another one today. Let me review, however, the main points of what I've already told you about worship. First, I said that worship is one of the most important things we do as Christians and together as the church. We do a lot of things, and worship is one of the most important things we do. Since it is important, we need then to have a right understanding of what worship is, of what it's all about. And we need to do worship right. So what? So that we can be true worshipers, offering up true worship unto the Lord. For Jesus said, those are the ones that God is looking for. God is looking for people who will worship Him. But not just any old people. People who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. That's right worship and right worshipers. I said that we offer God, our Heavenly Father, our worship last time we met together. We offer up that worship to Him because He alone is worthy to be worshipped. He alone is worthy to receive our worship. And now we move on to another aspect of worship. And the second part of our acrostic puzzle, if you want to call it that, is obedience. I submit to you that there's a very strong connection between worship and obedience. And I hope you'll be able to see that as we go along. And now I want to read a scripture to you out of the Old Testament, book of 1 Samuel. And since I'm starting in the middle of the story, I need to set it up for you. Saul was king of Israel at this time, and Samuel received instructions from the Lord to pass on to Saul. As you know, Samuel was the first prophet. Saul was instructed to go to war against the Amalekites, and he was supposed to utterly destroy them all, men and women, boys and girls, and even their livestock. Now, that may seem a bit extreme to us, but I think we have to remember that God had a purpose for what He did, for what He does. As you remember, the Amalekites were enemies of Israel because they had attacked Israel when Israel was on the way from Egypt to the Promised Land. Kind of a sneak attack, and a great battle ensued. And so Saul had been instructed by the Lord through Samuel to go against them, and he was assured of victory against them. And while the Amalekites were defeated in this battle that Saul went out to wage against the Amalekites, he did not do everything that the Lord told him to do. He did not kill the king. He brought him back with him. And he also kept some of the livestock, some of the best of the livestock. He did not kill, but he kept it, brought it back with him. That angered the Lord. That made him angry with Saul, because Saul had not obeyed his instructions, had not done what the Lord had told him to do through Samuel. Now let's pick up that account at that point and see what happened as a result of Saul's disobedience. 1 Samuel 15, verses 20 through 22. This is Saul speaking. But I did obey the Lord, Saul said. I went on the mission the Lord assigned me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agag, their king. The soldiers took sheep and cattle from the plunder, the best of what was devoted to God, in order to sacrifice them to the Lord your God at Gilgal. But Samuel replied, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. Saul tried to excuse his actions by saying that even if he didn't do exactly as the Lord had said, so he really did have good intentions because he wanted to sacrifice the best of the livestock to the Lord. That sounds reasonable, doesn't it? That didn't impress the Lord, however, one bit. And as a result, Saul lost his kingship and would be replaced by someone else. We know how that went. Saul tried to justify his actions by saying that they kept the best of the animals instead of killing them so that they could be sacrificed to the Lord. What's wrong with that? Here's the Lord's answer in the form of a question as it came through Samuel. Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? And here's the answer to that question. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. Now, if we think of offering sacrifices as a form of worship, which I believe is the way that they thought of it back then, it might sound like Samuel is saying that obedience is more important than worship. But I think that is not what he means. In the case of Saul, who was saying, in effect, that he did not obey completely because he was thinking about what he could offer to the Lord, the worship part was merely an excuse for disobeying the Lord. It would be something like those people who attend worship services, but who go out afterwards and live like non-believers. Or as someone has put it, they walk with the Lord on Sunday in church, and the rest of the time they live like the devil. In fact, that has been one of the charges leveled against Christians. We are accused of acting one way when we are in the house, when we are in the church building, or going through a service of some sort, but a different way in our different everyday lives. Now, that's not always a just kind of criticism. Not for all people anyway. But it's the way some people look at us sometimes. You're one way here, and you're something different over here. If that was the case, if we had to be perfect in order to offer up worship to the Lord, then most of us would never offer worship to Him, would we? Because we're not perfect. We do sin. We do fall short. But that's not what He's talking about here. What we really need to be is consistent. Consistent before the Lord. I believe our Heavenly Father welcomes our worship. He wants us to come. He wants us to worship Him. In fact, He has commanded us to worship Him. But He also desires to see us living in His truth. And His truth, as we know, is His Word. The reason that Saul got into trouble was that he did not obey the voice of the Lord completely, only partially. He went part of the way, but the rest of the way he decided was not important. No amount of worship was going to make up for his disobedience. It's not a question of either worship is one thing, a very important, or obeying the voice of the Lord, being obedient to God is also very important. Not a question of which is important, because both are. That is true because God, as I said before, has commanded us to worship Him. And He wants us to worship Him and Him alone. He wants us to do it out of a sense of obedience. And we should want to do it gladly, because we want to obey Him. That's the difference. It's not as if we are coerced. It's not as if we are forced into coming to church and worshiping God, offering up to Him our thanksgiving and our praise and our worship. It's not as if we have to do it. We do it because we want to do it. Do you remember when you were just a little kid and your parents would tell you to do something? You might have wondered about it and even questioned it a bit. But our parents insisted that we do it. And they were right for two reasons. One, they were doing what they thought was best because they loved us and wanted to help us. It wasn't as if they got some kind of pleasure out of forcing us to do something that we didn't want to do. They knew that if we happened to get our way all the time, we'd be in trouble down the line. And don't you see that today? Don't you see that in the lives of some people who have been coddled, who have been spoiled, who have gotten their way most all the time, and they find it very difficult to deal with life as it really is, as it comes to them day by day. Secondly, our parents were right because they knew better than us what was best for us. And sometimes they even said so. I know better than you do what's best for you. So you should just trust me. You should do what I say because I have your best interest in my heart. They wanted what was best for us, if they were the right kind of parents. Our Heavenly Father wants us to obey Him for the same reasons. He loves us more than we can ever understand. And He wants what is best for us. Our Heavenly Father wants what is best for you in your life. Do you believe that? If we believe that, then obeying God is not that hard to do. Because we know He's not just coming down on us. We know He's just not trying to pressure us or force us to do something that we don't want to do. That we come into the house of the Lord kicking and screaming, dragging our heels and saying, no, 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 no. You ever seen little kids like that? I remember I was at a checkout place in a store one day, and this mother had her little boy in the cart. And he was just carrying on something terrible. He was crying and kicking and screaming and saying, no, no, no. She didn't want him to have something, but he wanted it. And some guy came up behind me and he said, if that was my little kid, I would take that little boy home and spank him real good. Well, I think sometimes the Lord has to give us a little spanking, don't you think? It's called discipline. Discipline. And He disciplines us. Why? Because He loves us. If He just let us go, we might get ourselves into even more trouble. The problem with Saul in our scripture was that he didn't obey God completely because apparently it wasn't that important to him. Even though God had given Saul specific instructions, Saul decided it wouldn't hurt to cut corners just a little bit because he had something else in his mind that he wanted to do. If Saul's heart had been right in this matter, he would have wanted to please God by obeying Him to the letter. As it turned out, however, Saul's disobedience cost him dearly. In a sense, Saul tried to impress God with religious ritual and ceremony in the place of total obedience. But such things do not impress God. Rather, He is pleased with our demonstrations of love and trust for Him through obedience. So for just a few minutes, let's think about how worship and obedience relate to us and how they apply to us. In answer to the question of why do we gather as believers for the purpose of worshiping God? As I said before, we do this because we believe that God wants us to do it. Yes, even commands us to do it. It is a way of honoring Him and acknowledging the important place He has and the important role He plays in our lives. We offer Him our worship. As we do this, we are obeying His voice. Remember, Saul got into trouble because he did not obey the voice of the Lord, which in our day comes to us primarily how? Through His Word. Through the Word of God. Do you remember the Lord's solemn warning to His people right before they entered into the Promised Land? You remember they had come out of Egypt? They went through a terrible time in the wilderness for 40 years. Most of the older generation died off and didn't make it into the Promised Land. But when they got ready and they were poised to go right in, the Lord took them aside and He told them to be very careful. He said, "Be very careful not to forget Me. Don't forget about God." He said, "When you get into the Promised Land, I want you to be very sure that you remember Me. Remember who I am. Remember what I've done for you." He gave them certain reminders, such as the weekly Sabbath and the different festivals, so that they would remember all that He had done for them, because the different festivals celebrated different acts of God in their lives, things that He had done in their past. Unfortunately, they eventually did forget how important He was in their lives and in their nation. I think our country right now is at that very point. We have forgotten how important God has been to us in the past. We have forgotten about how He has blessed us as a nation. We have forgotten about how when we honored Him, He made it possible for us not only to be blessed, but to bless others, other nations. We have pushed Him out of our national life. We have told Him that we don't want Him around anymore. And people say when tragedies happen, "Where was God when this happened?" Well, we told Him to leave. We told Him to get out. When we come together for worship times, we are reminding ourselves and each other of how important God is in our lives. Is it possible that we could forget God? Not only possible, but I think it happens time after time. We worship on a regular basis because it reminds us of how much we need God. Not just in church on Sunday morning, but every single day of our lives. In the early church, there must have been some Christians who were not attending their gathering times, either on a regular basis or perhaps not at all. The writer of the letter to the Hebrews addressed this problem when he said, "Let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but let us exhort one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." And that day, of course, was the second coming of Jesus. We need that constant encouragement. We need that constant reminder to keep God in the very center of our lives, and to keep Him in our church, the very center of our church. And the reminder to come and worship helps us to do that. While it is true that in part we worship God out of a sense of obedience, that is because He has commanded it, we also know that it is beneficial to us. The psalmist wrote, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." And he goes on to list some of those benefits. He forgives all of our iniquities. He heals all of our diseases. He redeems our lives from destruction. He crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. And He satisfies our mouths with good things. While that's not an exhaustive list, it sounds pretty good reasons to worship the Lord. I also believe there is something therapeutic about worship. Remember, I told you that one reason God commands us to worship Him, I believe, is because He knows it is good for us. It does us good. We come into the house of the Lord all bowed down with cares and problems, fears and worries. And as we worship, those things can be lifted off of our lives. We can leave refreshed and renewed. You know, there was a time when I didn't like to hear people talk about worship as an opportunity to fill up our tanks. But as I've thought about it, that's really not a bad way of talking about it. As I have worshiped the Lord, I have seen Isaiah's words fulfilled in my own life at times. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Worship can strengthen us and encourage us so that we can face going out into the world without fear and dread. Unfortunately, I've also seen the opposite effect in people's lives. Some say that they go away feeling more tired than when they came. I heard one person say, "Every time I go to church, I get a splitting headache." To me, that means something must be wrong somewhere. Worship should not make matters worse or drag us down, but should lift us up. Even if it means we have been challenged to change in some way or another. I read something recently that said, obedience is the highest form of worship. I don't know that that's true or not. I don't even know if I agree with it. But I do believe that there is something very important about obedience. That is, obeying the Lord. Whether we feel like it or not, or even if we want to or not, for faced with such a decision, it is always, always better to obey. So we offer to the Lord our worship out of an attitude of obedience. I want to obey the Lord because I know it's right. I want to obey the Lord because I know it is a blessing to Him. And I want to obey the Lord because I know it blesses me. Let's pray together. Thank you, Father, for commanding us to worship You. For telling us that You want us to offer You praise and worship. Because in the long run, it really benefits us much more than it does You. Although we know it pleases You, most of all when we obey You. So give us that heart of obedience, Father, where we can truthfully say, as we sang together this morning, "Have Thine own way, Lord. Have Thine own way." In Jesus' name we pray.